This is Butchertown Rundown, a Racing Louisville podcast brought to you by the Beautiful Game Network.
This is the Butchertown Rundown, a podcast about the only top-level professional team in the state of Kentucky. I'm Tom Benson. That is Becky Morgan, and we would like to thank you for downloading this show and spending some time with us as we talk about Racing Louisville Football Club. Becky, how are you feeling?
I am really excited, Tom. I'm really happy that we're finally doing this after talking about this for months.
We have been talking about this for months. You and I became friends when you produced a piece for the Beautiful Game Network that I was quoted on. And afterwards, I had said to you, hey, if you ever want to talk about racing, send me an email. And you were like, ha ha ha, you should send me an email about racing. And then we started emailing each other like we were 1800s pen pals and sent novel after novel to each other about this team. And at some point decided, you know what? I bet other people would like to hear this. We should probably make a podcast out of this.
Yeah, I don't think either of us really knew what we were getting into when we started those emails. But you know what? I'm really happy we did, because I'm really excited about this. In the spirit of our emails, we are going to try and keep this podcast a little more like our conversations. It's not going to be recap oriented. We're going to still talk about matches and results, but it's not going to be like the play-by-play commentary you might get other places. Instead, we're going to do deep dives on topics we're interested in and really get into those geeky, deep-seated conversations of the kind of things that we talked about in our emails.
Absolutely. We get really deep. We get really into the weeds and have conversations that I think a lot of people are having about this team, but just aren't really having out in the public space. But I am excited to get started, Becky. But before we do, we should probably give just some brief introductions about ourselves and how we have ended up here. So what brought you here?
I've been a women's soccer fan for years. In high school, the 1999ers won the Women's World Cup, and I was immediately hooked. I had never seen, you know, women play sports like that. And so I followed women's soccer for years. And I followed the NWSL, you know, for a while, you know, when it started, and then the national team through all the World Cups. But when Racing Louisville was announced, I just couldn't believe that there was going to be a hometown team, and knew I was going to be an immediate fan. But then after attending that first Challenge Cup game, I knew I wanted to do more than just be a fan. I wanted to be a content creator. And long story short, I started writing for Beautiful Game Network, and now I'm here. How about you, Tom? What really sparked your interest?
It's funny because our journeys here were a little different. I've been a sports fan all my life, but I had never really seen the appeal of soccer. Then a few years ago, I was visiting a relative in Europe, and he took me to a league game, and the atmosphere and the excitement, I just kind of got it. Like, all right, this is why people get fired up for soccer. So when I came back home, I did what most American soccer fans do. I just started watching European leagues. I didn't really have a team, and I didn't really adopt one. But then a few years ago, I was just randomly flipping around on a Wednesday night, and on ESPN Plus, there was a women's soccer match, and my alma mater, Oklahoma State, was playing Kansas. And I watched the game, and it was an exciting game, but what really got me was that probably with 15 minutes to go in the match, the Oklahoma State goalie played a long ball into the midfield, and there was a collision between the cowgirl and the Jayhawk player that Becky was like a car accident. I mean, they were running full speed. They ran into each other, and I had seen a similar collision earlier that day watching a European league, and they brought out stretchers. I mean, the announcers were talking in hushed tones and, you know, talking about giving last rites. So I was figuring, well, you know, these players are going to stay down, but they didn't. The Jayhawk player got up a little bit earlier, and she saw that the ball was out there, so she started advancing with it. And then the cowgirl kind of got to her senses, and she was mad as a hornet, Becky. She was fired up, but she wasn't mad because she was looking for a call. She was mad because she lost the ball. And she took up after that Jayhawk player, and she ran with such ferocity, such drive, And I was like, wow. I mean, I've been watching sports all my life, but it's rare that you see an athlete just compete at that level. And this was a middle of a week game in Lawrence, Kansas. I mean, we're not talking about the finals of the World Cup, but that moment really solidified to me that there's something going on with this sport. So I started watching the Cowgirls that season, and every game there was a moment like that where you just saw an athlete with just such determination and grit and physicality. I thought, this is my sport. When my hometown team of Louisville got a team announced, I was like, I'm in. And I had high expectations for what the team would be, but they blew them away. And I went from casual fan to super fan to wanting to talk about racing all the time in just a season. And I'm looking forward to talking with you about it going forward. I think there's a lot of stuff about this team that is really something to be excited about. So enough with the intros. We want to talk about the team. Let's talk about the team. Let's start with the starting line. In our emails, we've kind of segmented out the way that we talk about the team and things that we go over. And we've kind of talked about structuring the show the same way. So let's start with the starting line, where we go over some news and notes on the team. So, Becky, get us started.
Well, I can't really go over the whole preseason in a reasonable amount of time, so I'm just going to focus on the most recent news, and that is that the fourth overall draft pick, Savannah DeMello, has been signed by Racing Louisville to a 2-year contract. She was a standout player at the University of Southern California. She has youth national team experience, and I think she's the potential to be a really versatile midfielder for us.
So I've got a question. So we've lost Savannah McCaskill. Is it rude to refer to Savannah DeMello as New Sav? Is that disrespectful?
No, I've seen a lot of jokes saying that racing needs to have at least one Savannah on the roster at all times, and we seem to be living up to that. So sure, just call her New Sav, I guess.
New Sav, excellent. So as long as all right, sounds good. So New Sav looking to be a good midfielder for us. Awesome.
And she joins Jalen Howell, Kirsten Davis, and Jessica McDonald as the most recent signees, and I know we're definitely going to get some more soon because we currently only have a roster of 18. This is being recorded Monday night, but I know that on Tuesday it is going to be announced that Jordan Bloomer, the backup goalkeeper who we drafted from Wisconsin, is also going to get signed. So for our listeners, that will be old news, but for us, that is a little bit of new, exciting news that we are just hearing.
Look at Becky Morgan coming in with some insider info. Coming in hot.
It's not
Nice.
as exciting when they hear it after the fact, but still, it is what it is. And then
Absolutely.
the other huge thing that was announced today is that the Challenge Cup schedule has finally been released. So like last year, it's going to be in a regional breakdown, but this time with the two additions of the California teams, there are going to be three regions instead of two. Racing is in the Midwest region with Houston, Chicago, and Kansas City. And that's pretty interesting because that means we're playing completely different teams than we did in last year's Challenge Cup. And Racing actually has the tournament opener at home in Lynn Family Stadium against Kansas City on Friday, March 18th at 7:30. So we finally have games on the schedule to look forward to, and I could not be more excited about that.
Exactly. And you and I, we have not had, we've only had a few hours to digest this Challenge Cup schedule. That is not enough time to talk about it right now. So we will look forward to talking about the Challenge Cup in our next show, and digging in deep to that because there is so much to talk about with the Challenge Cup and this preseason for the team.
Oh, absolutely. And I know that we could probably fill two podcasts with it, honestly, with how much we write and talk about it, but we will save it for next time.
Excellent. Fantastic starting line, Becky. And before we go any further, I think it is time for a commercial break where we talk about some sponsors.
We don't have any sponsors, Tom.
That's right. We do not have any sponsors, but I think that it's important, and we've talked about it, that racing is a brand new team, and it's important for those people, those companies, those organizations that do support racing and are here at the beginning, that we shout them out and make sure that they get as much exposure and notoriety and as much bang for their buck as we can give them, because they are very important for the growth of this team. And Today, I'd like to talk about the Beautiful Game Network, who sponsors not only and hosts this podcast, but also is where you do all of your great writing, Becky.
That's true. I do write for Beautiful Game Network.
And Beautiful Game Network, their tagline or their philosophy, they say they are the sport of the world, the voice of the people. And, you know, American soccer culture, we ain't very old. But if you look around, we're doing some pretty cool stuff. And the Beautiful Game Network is a great place to explore that. And I'll just use an example. I grew up in Oklahoma. And a fun fact about Oklahoma, during the summer, the temperature is approximately that as the sun. So I always wondered, the Oklahoma City Energy, which is a USL team, how difficult is it for them to play on the surface of the sun? And I was able to look at their Beautiful Game Network team page and get a good understanding of that. Very interesting stuff. You can do a deep dive on different teams, different cultures. There's so much exciting stuff that's going on in U.S. soccer, and Beautiful Game Network is the perfect place to enjoy it. Whether you are excited about your team and want to read more, learn about a new team, or if you're in a good mood and you want to read something really, really sad, there's an extensive FC Cincinnati page that can really bring you down if that's what you're interested in. But the point is that the Beautiful Game Network is a great place to go and grow your soccer fandom. So go give them a click. Becky, it is time to get to the meat of the show. And that is such a horrible dad joke pun. But the fact is that the thing that got us most excited about doing the podcast was to jump into really deep topics about this team. And we call that segment Prime Cuts. This is a time where we can get really deep about a topic. And as we record this podcast, Becky, we are just a little over a month removed from the turn of the new year from 2021 to 2022. A lot of people around the world at New Year's make New Year's resolutions. I want to read more books. I want to go back to school. I'd like to start a Racing Louisville podcast. And what we would like to do today is to go through, say, not a new year, but a new season. A new Racing Louisville season. What is our resolution for this team that we love in the upcoming 2022 season? And I'm going to go first. I know we've got a lot to go through, but I'm going to go first. Is that, Becky, this last season, every time this team either took a corner or defended a corner, I felt like I was watching a puppy cross the interstate. It looked like it was just going to be a disaster. And we didn't give up a goal a lot of times, but just the defending was so haphazard. I couldn't tell if we had a plan, and we were one of the only teams that did not score a goal off of a corner this last year. And I'd like to see us improve in that area in the upcoming year, where our defending on corners is a little more sound, and, you know, maybe we can get a little more respect from the opposition when we're taking corners. Maybe get a goal or two out of it, or a couple of chances that we didn't get last year. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody who's followed me on Twitter will know that corners have been a real pet peeve of mine. And that mid-season, I was like, we still haven't scored on a corner. And everybody responded, oh, that's just statistically normal. And then we still have yet to ever score on a corner. So I'm sorry, that's not good. And like you said, we never look practiced. Like, we looked like we were seeing corners for the very first time every time we lined up to defend one. Now, I do think that we've taken some, you know, pretty good kicks that just haven't connected. But either way, like, we do need to improve on them. And I do think the additions of Jalen Howell and Jessica McDonald will help that. They're both known for headers. They're both known for converting corners. So yes, that is absolutely 100% something we need to improve on. And honestly, I would say we just need to improve on capitalizing on set pieces in general. We came in that, you know, first Challenge Cup game, and that set piece from Savannah McCaskill that was headed down by Frey Olfson to Brooke Hendricks' feet and drew the game at the very last seconds. I think that may have been the only set piece that we converted all season. I might be wrong, but it's definitely one of very few. And so, yes, corner set pieces, we need to really, really, really focus on those.
And on the one hand, you know, am I starting my, you know, New Year's resolutions off with something negative about the team? Let me tell you, for anybody that is joining us, I challenge you to find a group of fans that are more super biased towards racing than Becky and myself. So we're not looking to take shots, but man, if we could just improve in that aspect, 2022 would be much better. What do you think? What's one of your resolutions for this team, Becky?
Well, mine is definitely that we need absolutely 100% to have fewer shutouts. Last season, we were shut out 9 times. That's 9 out of 24 games. That's 38% of our matches. And that isn't going to cut it. I mean, you can make some excuses. You know, we had a coaching change and we clearly had problems there. We had players join the team late. We were a new team, just learning chemistry, all that stuff. Yeah, that's fine. And it's more excusable in a first year. It's not excusable in a second year. And so, you know, our defense isn't that deep still right now. So we are going to get scored on. We're going to lose games, but we cannot be shut out. We also just need to get more points. And I mean, I know, like, yeah, no crap, Becky, you want the team to have more points, but this is actually going to be a little more challenging because each team plays 22 games this season. That's 2 less than last season. So if we want more points, we're going to have to improve by, you know, if we're going to get more than 22, we're going to have 6 less points to potentially gain to reach that number, if that makes any sense. And so, you know, with our attackers that we've added, with Jessica McDonald, hopefully with Nadia Nadim coming back sooner rather than later, with Kirsten Dr. Davis, Nadim. Yeah, Dr. Nadim, we will be scoring more goals. And I do think that we are going to win games by scoring goals, not necessarily by shutting other teams out. So it's a balance. We need to not be shut out, and we need to just get more points and score more goals and win more games.
So if I was to ask you, I will allow you to say, like, all right, we can upgrade either our attackers, we can upgrade our midfield, or keep the same players that we have or the players we've got coming in, but upgrade the play. What area would you think that we would need to improve to be able to accomplish the goal of scoring more goals?
Right now, it's definitely the midfield, because I think we're good with the players we have now, but I think our problem last field is mostly in the midfield. We just had no movement in the center of the field. We could not get the ball moving forward properly. I mean, we did have issues with our forwards. People played behind the ball too much. They didn't, you know, get in the box. You know, Fox would make these runs up the side and then have to stand there and wait for other players, you know, who are forwards, to get up at the same level as her. And I mean, that was just like made me want to tear my hair out. So, I mean, I do think we need improvements in both areas, and I think we've made improvements in both areas.
I think one thing that you mentioned there that we often forget about as fans is that we didn't even have a full preseason last year. You know, Nadia came over late. Gemma Bonner came over late, you know, with visa issues. So, you know, to the extent that, you know, in the preseason, you were trying to build chemistry from a bunch of players that had never played with each other before. And then you're continuing to add new pieces, which adding, you know, more folks on the field. And that makes it tougher to get a feel for what your teammates are doing, what they like to do. And then we have a coaching change in the middle of the season. And I mean, there were just so many things that kept us from getting that chemistry that we needed to where, all right, you know, when you see Emily Fox taking off with the ball upfield, which, by the way, it was one of my favorite things about last year, just being a fan in the stands, is when she would every now and then just say, screw it, and take the ball up the field. She'd dribble 40 yards. She'd pass every single defender like they were on roller skates. But you're right. She would get there, and then there was like, it was almost like a race that she had run. She had passed the finish line and stopped because there was no one to deliver the ball to. And hopefully, you know, now there's a little bit better understanding of, you know, where people are going. And, you know, it's funny. Coach Kim has mentioned that he wants to score more goals. You really could have been speaking like you were from his press conference, you know, that he wants to score more goals, you know, wants to be more aggressive, throwing numbers forward, which everybody says it, but I don't know. I'm hopeful that he's right.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm really aware that, like, that sounds like the dumbest wish list item, because yes, of course we want more goals, Becky, that is obvious, but Racing had the worst goal differential of all teams by a long margin. So we truly need to score more goals. Even if we don't win games, we need to score more goals. I mean, I do, like I said, in the second half, we need more points. We do need to do better than that last season. More than anything, we need to score goals. We need to stop getting shutouts. We need to keep that goal differential down. And, you know, that's the only way we're going to take the next step we need in order to start winning those games. So,
no, that's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. My next New Year's new season resolution is that I want to see three layers of swag on that field. And let me tell you what I mean is that, you know, our team last year, very hardworking. God, they worked hard. They ran hard. They played till the very end. But I don't know that there was that killer attitude where you looked at them and they looked at the other team and the other team knew that they were going to lose. Kind of like when you see, you know, the women's national team play a first round in the World Cup against, you know, a smaller country, and those other teams look at our athletes and are like, it's just not our day. You know, these folks have come to play, and the U.S. is not going to be denied. And I think that's a mindset that I would really like to see our team really adopt. The good news is that I think we've got the players on the roster to do it. Nadia Nadim, Dr. Nadim, she has got swagger. She has got swagger. She hates to lose. She loves to win. She is always competing. And she's not afraid to talk a little trash.
A little?
Jalen Howell. Not afraid to talk a little trash. Gemma Bonner, you would look at her and say, oh, you know, she's a little quiet. If you watch her, if you get close down to the field and you watch her, she is talking, she's intimidating, she's physical, she is bodying people up. Opposing forwards get close. They know that she is there. I'd like to see that swagger just translate. Swagger in the attack, swagger in the midfield, swagger in the defense, to where when somebody comes into Lynn Family Stadium or they know that they're hosting Racing Louisville, like, you better show up with your best game. You better show up, because Racing Louisville is not coming in to play around, coming in to take 3 points. Maybe you win, maybe we lose, but you are getting our attitude, you're getting our attack, you're getting our swagger. I'd really like to see that in this upcoming season.
No, I agree. I mean, mentality is 90% of it. Like, I swear, you know, like the national team always says, the reason they're so dominant is because their mentality is they will win.
Yeah. You know,
they will win every game. And if they don't, then it's like, what do we need to do? Because we will win the next one. Racing did not have that mindset. You know, they started the season, or at least they started the Challenge Cup, so aggressively, and they were not afraid to go head to head against Marta, against all these major players in Orlando. Yeah. And they always played until the end of every game, and they never stopped trying, but they lost that, or they never truly really gained that mentality that's like, you have to beat us, you know,
yes.
Like, not like you have to win, but you have to beat us to get there. And that's, like you said, I hope that's what we get. I mean, the swagger comes with winning, but it also needs to come first a little bit. And I do think Nadia, I do think Jay, and I do think Gemma all have that. And I think Jess McDonald also has, you know, that drive that has propelled her to the absolute top of the pinnacle of soccer, winning World Cups and, you know, winning championships. So she knows what it's like to win. She knows what it takes. She has the right attitude, and I think she'll help there too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, you're right. It's a mentality, but I think back to the middle of the season against Orlando, and I have so many things to say about Orlando in general, but where, you know, we're on the road and Sydney LaRue gets that last goal in like the last 5 seconds of stoppage time. She was not going to be denied. She was the only player on that team playing that hard. I think we've got it. I mean, I've seen it with our players, that you see those flashes where they've got that fight in them, but you're only seeing it for flashes, and you just want to see it get unlocked. Say, no, it's okay. You know, like, go that hard, go for the throat, go to win at all times when you can. And I think we'll get there. We're still a young team. I'm excited for that as a next step for us, that we can, and that they can, you know, take that next step. I think, you know, when we look at saying like, all right, what's the next step of success, you know, making the playoffs, looking at like a top two seed, you know, going on the road and winning some big games. It's like that mentality is going to be part of it. And it's there. We just got to unlock it.
And, you know, that actually brings me to my next wish pretty smoothly, because the next wish that I really want, and I think is coming, and I think it's actually already here, is that we really need new lasting leadership. And when we talk about that winning mentality, I mean, we're really talking about the leaders who bring that about, who will take this very, very, very young team, younger than it even was last year with all the rookies we got, and will teach them what it's like to be winners. And, you know, this is a bit of a challenge because we did lose Bedos. You know, we lost McCaskill. Yeah. That's essentially our entire established leadership. And, you know, maybe that will hurt us significantly. Maybe it will take us a while to get over that hurdle. But, you know, Nadia's flying back to Louisville. You know, she's coming back to the States today because she wants to be with the team while she's rehabbing and be part of that team environment. That's leadership. And so that's important. You know, CeCe Kaiser at the last press conference said, you know, from the day Jessica McDonald got here, she already started acting like a leader and like the leader they needed. So that's huge. Oh. Like you said, Gemma Bonner was involved in the coaching hire. That's critical. You know, having someone who's a leader in that respect. And the day Gemma Bonner arrived, young defenders were like, go over video with me. And she started doing it. You know, I've heard so many people say behind the scenes that she's willing to sit down and, you know, teach as much as she possibly can and, you know, not do it in a loud, boisterous way, but like to do everything she can to really develop the team. And on the flip side, I mean, we really need to get some young leaders too. You know, these are all established vets. I want to see, you know, Jalen Howell, who was captain at FSU for 3 of her 4 years in college, to start taking a leadership role in the field. You know, she's called herself a quarterback on the field. It's going to be a little hard to do as a rookie with older players, but if anybody can do it, I think she can. And I think that needs to be fostered in her. You know, Emily Fox was part of the coaching hiring process. You know, she put herself into a leadership position in order to be part of that. I hope she continues to lead in that respect. And I really, truly think that the only way we're going to be a winning team is if we can create some kind of new lasting consistency in leadership. And the winning mentality will come from that. And I do truly believe that we have the right players in place to do that.
That's such an excellent observation that, you know, we've lost, you know, lost both captains from last year. You know, there was a coaching change last year. You know, when things get tough, who do the players on the pitch look to rally them? And that's something not to be taken for granted. I think Jess McDonald, she has just tremendous potential to come in and take that leadership mantle. I'm always a little wary, and no disrespect to her whatsoever, but I'm always a little wary when new players come in and start trying to assert leadership or assert themselves, because you always wonder if there will be backlash. You know, where were you last year? You weren't, you know, you didn't spend 30 hours on the way to go to Portland with us. Who are you? Jess McDonald, she's a veteran. She knows how to navigate that. I don't worry so much with her that. I just hope that the leadership comes sooner rather than later. I'm sure she'll earn that respect. I just hope that it, like you said, that it happens sooner rather than later.
And I think it already is. You know, my friend Jenna Tonelli, who is a writer for Gotham, interviewed Sydney Cummings, who is one of the draftees, and all she could talk about is how excited she was to play with Jessica McDonald. And that when she thinks of the national team, she thinks of Jessica McDonald. You know, like CeCe didn't say it in a begrudging way. I mean, I think Jess is a rare, strong player because she is just a natural leader. She just comes in and has the charisma to be a leader the way Nadia does, in a good way, in a positive way. She is such a funny, positive, good-natured person that from what little I've spoken to her, what interviews I've seen with her, I really think that Jessica McDonald is the exact kind of attitude and presence that you could ask for in a team like this. And I believe that it's already happening naturally in the short time that we've had her. And I think that's really exciting.
That's exciting. And you didn't mention him specifically, but you know, we need Coach Kim to come in and earn the players' trust,
Absolutely.
Earn his, you know, show that he is, you know, worthy of their respect, both tactically, personally, the way he runs practices, the way he handles the lineups. I mean, I know this is something that, you know, we're not going to talk about today. We probably can talk about it for hours and hours, but we won't right now. We got a lot of forwards on this team. I mean, how are we going to manage the minutes? So, all right, we've got Nadia and Jessica. What are you doing with Ebony Salmon? I mean, Ebony Salmon is a rock star in the making. You putting her on the bench? I mean, there are a lot of things that he needs to do as a leader to get everybody, you know, pulling on the same end of the rope. That's what he gets paid for. I mean, that's soccer management. That's what every manager needs to do. But, you know, that doesn't lessen the importance of it. And he needs to, you know, earn the players' respect and be a good leader for them as well.
Absolutely. I mean, he's completely unproven at this point. I can't say completely because, you know, he did well in Europe and in Asia and was highly lauded by former players. You know, he didn't just like kind of come in with a question mark. You know, he was very highly supported by former players who were willing to put their name on it, which I think is a pretty strong endorsement.
And that's no small thing.
And already the players seem to really like him. I mean, we'll see that could change based on the results. I mean, who knows what's going to happen. But, yeah, I do think you're absolutely right. He does need to prove himself. He needs to hold this team together, you know, manage big personalities. I don't think we have huge personalities like some other teams do to the same extent. But like you said, if you want to be a team that has swagger on it, then you have big personalities and you need to be a manager that's capable and ready to handle those. And hopefully he is.
I'm optimistic. I think that everything that I have heard about him, read about him, listened to it from him, has been great. And I don't say that just because he's over 9 feet tall. I mean, he seems
gigantic.
To be, he is a huge human being. He is a huge human being, but he seems to be a great hire. And I really look forward to seeing how he molds this team. I really do. So one last bit of resolution for me. And this is something that I'd like to probably explore a little bit later in a little bit more detail. But to just kind of get on record is that, you know, this team was founded by people from Louisville, that the owners are proud of Louisville, Kentucky. They are proud and they want to put Louisville on the map. But I think for this team to reach its potential, we need to be more than Louisville. We need to be Kentucky's team. And I know that doesn't happen overnight, but we need to appeal to Lexington. I lived in Northern Kentucky. I need to see some of my friends from Northern Kentucky talk about, you know what, we'd like to come down and see a racing game, spend the weekend, spend a night in Louisville. See people from Bowling Green coming up, people from Harlan, all over, from Eastern Kentucky, start to embrace this team. Then my resolution isn't that that happens in one season, because that's something that happens over time. But I would like to start seeing glimpses of it, that we are becoming not just Louisville, Racing Louisville, but the pro team of Kentucky.
And how would you measure that? That's my question, because a lot of the things that we discussed as resolutions are very discrete things. They are, you know, scoring off corners. They are, you know, better goal differential, what, fewer shutouts. You know, even leadership to a certain extent, you know, becomes obvious based on, you know, how the team chemistry is and how they perform on the field. You can just kind of see it. But how are you actually going to be able to look and say, you know, that it is spreading and, you know, it is being adopted more by the rest of the state?
Boy, that's a really great question. And I think on some level, it's, you know, like the whole Supreme Court justice who said, how do you define pornography? Well, I don't know, but I'll know it when I see it. I think that it's one where when you travel around the state that you see evidence of fandom. You know, if in you're in Lexington, you see stickers on cars.
I see
t-shirts.
So much. I can't tell you how surprised I am by the amount of Racing Louisville stuff I see in Lexington. Every day when I drive home from work, I see two cars. They're the same cars, but I still see two cars. I go out to eat, and I see, you know, people wearing racing sweatshirts. And, you know, there are a lot of younger kids, you know, my niece's age, like 15, 16, early 20s, you know, girls that probably play soccer for the most part, and they are really excited about having this pro team. So I've actually been pretty shocked by how much racing stuff that I've seen here in Lexington.
That's awesome. And
it's happening,
on
Tom.
Woohoo! All right, we can already mark one off the list. You know, it's funny, like, and this is, you know, a topic for another time, but I feel that, you know, there's such a desire for this team, and not just racing, but Portland, you know, Houston, all these teams, there is a fandom that is just waiting to be tapped into. And when I go to visit my friends in Northern Kentucky, I want to see that. I want to feel that I am part of that community. When I go, when I've got business out in Bowling Green, I want to see those stickers. I want to see those shirts. I mean, I'm always representing my stuff because my Racing Louisville sweatshirt is the most comfortable one I own. But also, I just want to see that and feel that community and kind of get it, because the thing that I didn't say that was behind it is that, you know, it's not a civil war situation, but there's a divide in this state.
Oh, huge one.
You know, there is, you know,
Louisville and everybody
Louisville
else.
Louisville and everybody else. And I think that we need, you know, there needs to be a way to break through that, because there will be some natural resistance to this team because they're in Louisville. I think that that's a fact. I think that if this team was in Lexington, people in Louisville would be a little wary of it, in the same way that other folks are wary of Louisville. And it just needs to be something that, I mean, the best thing about sports is its ability to bring folks together. You know, UK fans and Louisville fans are never going to break bread over Thanksgiving dinner, but you can have a team in common and enjoy it. And I want to see that. And so you're telling me that I've already not, you know, checked the box for this season. So next year, new season resolution will be that it's even better than this. But I'm excited to hear that it's already progressing a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely
Let's keep it going.
It's definitely already progressing. And I mean, my wish for attendance is honestly just that we continue to grow. Last year, we were the second highest in the entire league. That's incredible. But with Angel City coming in, I think it's likely we'll drop to third, possibly even fourth. But that's fine. That's fine as long as we improve our average attendance. You know, we were at like something like 6,500 last year. If we get up over 7,000, that's a major boon. You know, we're a tiny city compared to LA. We're a tiny city compared to even Seattle and many of the New York City and Washington, D.C., a lot of these other teams, you know, homes. And so we can really only compare ourselves to ourselves. And I do think that we can see regular concerted growth, because I think that's the true sign of a team health. You know, a team can be successful on the field, but if they don't have their community support, they're not really going to thrive and have longevity, in my opinion. And it's been hard for expansion teams. Houston, in their first year, did well, and then they grew in their second year, and then they've dropped every year since. Orlando has dropped by more than 1,000 spectators on average every single year that they've existed. So I really want us to buck the trend and continue to grow each year in the future. And I know we're both talking about, this is supposed to be New Year resolutions, and we're talking about like 5 years in the future. But, you know, next year I want to see, you know, concrete growth. And then I definitely, next year I'm going to come back and say the same exact thing. I want to see concrete growth again. I want us to be on par and maybe even exceed Lou City eventually in terms of attendance.
I think that is a doable goal. And one thing that, I know that when I say this, that everybody knows that I'm a racing fan and a racing super fan. But whenever I've talked to folks that have gone to games, they've all said they've loved it. I mean, it is a fun time. It's a fun time. It's
It is.
awesome. You know, I missed two games last year and gave my tickets to friends that were people that are like, these people should be racing fans. And the games that I gave them were like the 4-0 loss to North Carolina, like a 5-0, like the worst games that they possibly could have gone to. But they said that they had a good time. Now, granted, I gave them their tickets, but I don't know that it was a lie. I feel that each time people go to the games, they have a good time. It's a fun atmosphere. It's great excitement. God, I love it. Like, the music's good, the people are good, it's loud, the team plays hard. I mean, the sight lines are fantastic. There's not a bad seat in the house. Like, you just need to get them to go once.
Exactly.
You
It's a
just need them to get them to go once, and they'll be back.
I agree. It's a great atmosphere. You just need to get people there, and I think he'll convert a lot of new fans, and I think that's already happened, and I am confident that we'll see growth in the coming year.
But you make a good point that it's like you can't rest on your laurels. You can't say, well, Lou City's doing this and we've started with this. No, I mean, there are no guarantees. You need to keep scrapping and fighting. I mean, if Orlando with Marta and Alex Morgan continue, had such losses in their attendance, I mean, you can't take anything for granted. That team, they should have been selling out. Orlando, we will talk about them again in the future, but it's in a way it's a cautionary tale. You need to make sure that you are doing what you can to continue to grow because there are no guarantees in this league.
I agree 100%.
Excellent. So I think those were some good new season resolutions.
I think so too. I'll be interested to come back and revisit them later and see where we are.
I know. Yes. Well, you know what? We will be like the number one scoring team in corners, and I'll be like, that was all me. No.
Absolutely.
I
Absolutely.
mean, can I take credit for that?
It's inevitable,
So
Tom. It's inevitable.
I hope so. So I want to play a quick game. We're kind of on the tail end of the show, but I want to do something fun real quick. I am going to give you some options, and we're going to play a game of fair, foul, or card, in which I'm going to give you three options. And I want you to tell me which one you think is fair, the most likely, foul in the middle, or a card. You would give a red card to the scenario that you think is least likely. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
All right. And we will make this timely. So before we record our next episode, here are your three options. Number one, that Racing will have signed five players. Number two, the regular season schedule will have been announced. And three, that Racing will have released a new away jersey. And I will say this because I got my daughter a home jersey for Christmas, and I was like tweeting the club, like, hey, I'm getting her a jersey. Are they changing? And they said, we're not changing the home jersey. So my guess is that a new away jersey is on its way. So that's why I say that. But you may say that that's unlikely. So what is your guess? Five new players signed, regular season schedule released, or a new away jersey?
Well, we only have 18 players on our roster right now, and 19 once Jordan Bloomer is announced. So we definitely need those five players. We need more like
Yes.
10 players. So I certainly hope that I think it's very fair to say we'll have five signed.
Okay.
I think that's highly likely. If not five, close to it, but we will definitely have multiple players signed by the next time we do a podcast. I would be certain of it. With no information given to me, I just think that has to happen.
Okay.
The next two are a little harder. I've definitely heard the same thing about, well, the home jersey isn't going to
Yeah.
change, but then I've also heard that there might not be a new away jersey this season. I think they were aiming for it. I don't know if it'll actually come to fruition, but I'm still. What was the other one?
The regular
Oh, the regular season
season
schedule.
schedule
Ha!
to be
Okay.
released.
So I wish I could say that that was the next likely, but I actually think that I will say that's next likely. I think that it's more likely that the season will be released. I'm already shocked that the Challenge Cup schedule was released this early. So I'm hoping, this is my wish into the universe. I don't have that strong faith in it, but the foul is going to be that the schedule is released, and then I'm going to say that it's a card that we're going to get a jersey. I'm not going to get my hopes up.
So you went fair with five new players signed, foul for a regular schedule released, and you would card the new away jersey.
That's
I
correct.
would I would agree with your card on the new jersey only because I feel as though that if it was coming, they would be hyping it up a little bit more. They'd be dropping hints on social media. The team's really good to do that, like kind of let you know that something's coming.
I agree.
They would have leaked something to an insider such as yourself. So I will wait on that, which is kind of a drag because I want to get the new away jersey. I'm due to get one. I'm going to get either a rookie or a Dr. Nadim on the back. So I was excited about that, but it's probably unlikely. So I will give that. I am going to. I'm going to go fair on the regular season schedule
Wow.
released.
Okay, you're way more positive than I am. I wouldn't be surprised if we get it the day before the Challenge Cup starts again.
Maybe so, but this team is so slow to sign players. Even with signing Jordan Bloomer tomorrow, they've been averaging one a week. To say that they would do four more in the next week, I think
Two
that's a little
weeks.
optimistic. Next 2 weeks, but still, that's a lot. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I hope they sign all their draft picks, but that's where I'm at on that. So I've written down our results, and we can see who is closer next week for our next show. And I think with that, Becky, that brings us to the finish line.
It does.
Finish line, the closing segment of the show where we talk about things that we are looking forward to and things that are coming due. Do you have any pieces that you are working on right now for Beautiful Game Network?
I do actually. I might regret this, but I'm going to be doing interviews with all the new kids, all the rookies signed by Racing Louisville. So I actually kind of hope we don't sign five in the next 2 weeks because that's a lot more interviews. Because I currently have three that are going to be planned for next week, and that'll be with Jalen Howell, Savannah DeMello, and Kirsten Davis. And I guess Jordan Bloomer is going to be playing soon too. So that's four. And we need to sign at least, seven more by my calculations. So this will be a long series of interviews that will be coming during the preseason. And I hope you look out for them and enjoy them.
We will all look out for them. Your writing is so fantastic. Everybody loves it, and we will all look for them, both. And we'll make sure that we retweet them off the Butchertown Rundown Twitter page and look forward to it. Becky, I feel as though we have only scratched the surface. There is so much more to talk about. We could talk for another 2 hours, but for now, next week. Or for not next week, but in 2 weeks when we have our next show, we will talk about the Challenge Cup. We will go deep dive into the Challenge Cup, into preseason, over what we're seeing in practices, over what we're hearing. We'll have those player interviews to get the vibe for
We'll
the
have some
early
of them.
team.
Some
We'll have
of
some of
them.
them. We'll have some of them to go through. Even if it's one, we will dissect it as if it was that film of Kennedy being shot. We will go frame by
God.
frame so that we can figure out exactly what's going on with the team. So much to talk about. I'm excited. Are you excited?
I'm thrilled.
That's the spirit, Morgan.
No, I'm just realizing how much work I'm going to have coming up in the next couple of weeks, and it's kind of hitting me all at once.
Fantastic. Well, I'm glad that we could do that. This was a lot of fun. I think we should do it again. Let's do it again in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I think maybe we can do that.
Let's do it again. Thanks for Becky Morgan. This is Tom Benson. Thanks for listening to the Butchertown Rundown.